What is this topic about? Or are we just hanging out?
Just hanging out, chilling a little, having a good time. The thing I think we want to talk the most about, though, is sublimating our most terrifying fears and desires through the magic of animal simulation video games.
This is a hot new movement in the video game world.
Yeah, too hot for Fangamer.
Potentially. We may never see animal merchandise come out of Fangamer. However, we cannot deny that there is a new scene emerging in which are animal simulations.
Oh, you mean like Star Fox?
No, that's like an anthropomorphic animal simulation.
You lost me. I don't know if I got
this. We're talking about such games as...
Okami.
You're getting closer. Like, imagine
Twilight Princess.
You got it. Now, what you want to do is you want to imagine a Star Fox.
All right, I'm there.
Okay, yeah, you've got the Super FX microchip.
Sure,
and your Super Nintendo cartridge.
Mode 7.
Yeah, it's pushing hundreds of polygons per second. Now, instead of an R-Wing, the Fox is piloting himself. Which is a lot like one of those tanks, only there's no tank.
Like being John Malkovich?
Yeah.
All right.
Instead of Corneria, he's just in the forest. And instead of Andross, his enemy is Mother Nature.
The true enemy of everybody, really.
Yeah.
So we're entering this realm of realism in games, in a way.
Well, I mean, kind of. because most of the... simulator games that I have been exposed to so far, and by most I mean I've only been exposed to Goat Simulator, are not actually, and I'm not a zoologist or a cryptozoologist or an astronomer, but they're not actually simulating the real life of a goat.
They're simulating the Hollywood version of a goat.
Yeah. I mean, goats get this all the time. You know, a goat goes into the store, and all the people there are just like, hey, man, do that goat thing where you run into a bus and it explodes and you scream really loud.
And then you walk away unharmed. Yeah.
And this is just actually, a game like Goat Simulator is more so pushing the myth of what it is to be a goat in the real world. So
when in fact only a few goats are capable of these feats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess that's fair to say.
Yeah, it's a very performative game. And if you haven't played Goat Simulator, you know, like, goat trigger warning, it might, like, there are a lot of really harmful goat stereotypes in Goat Simulator. You know, like, stereotype one, goats eat everything, and they don't care what they eat, and they don't like fine dining like we do as humans.
You know, one thing about goats that I have noticed, though, is that they are very human-like.
They're very human-like.
And they even have the potential to... Well, they're developing speech patterns.
That's also true. And this is these are things that I believe goat studies professors would like us to talk more about.
Does Goat Simulator go into the speech pattern abilities of a goat?
Well, you can bleat in Goat Simulator and kind of like scream at people or anything.
Yes. Like, that sounds like my Saturdays.
Okay.
Yeah, you just go out in the public and...
Yep, that's the one.
And then they scatter for some reason.
I'd like to give us a quick sample of the new movement of goat speech. Now, you see, we find this funny as humans because we know that they're not actually saying anything.
I don't think... You're talking for everybody here, Jeff. I find it terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't know what planet you live on, Charlie, but...
I find it inspiring.
Me too. What I'm trying to say here is that they're
It learning. Elicits emotions,
they're
which
learning.
Is...
They're learning to say... Ah! And one day that may turn into... I love you! Humans, and we can coexist. So really, what I don't think what I'm saying is offensive. I'm trying to further interspecies mingling and peace and coexistence.
When in fact, I completely disagree, and I think that as humans, it's our duty as the current dominant species on the planet to maintain that dominance. And if we ever see something like the goats starting to talk, develop speech, and possibly even forming a society, it's our duty to destroy that and just nip it in the bud.
And I have to respect that, or else...
yeah, you'd better.
Or else I'm a goat sympathizer.
Yeah, you get kicked out of the club, really.
Right. But aside from Goat Simulator, there are some other games that are coming out that don't necessarily fit the Grand Theft Auto type mechanics of Goat Simulator, but still kind of... You still play as an animal. And
you mean like Star Fox?
I was thinking more along the lines of Bear Simulator.
Bear Simulator? Tell me more about Bear Simulator.
Bear Simulator was a successful Kickstarter for a game in which you play as a bear foraging for food and essentially trying to stay alive by eating bass fish, trout, sometimes fruits and berries. So you ultimately, I'm assuming, are working towards hibernation.
Okay.
I don't know much about the game. All I know is that the Kickstarter went well. And now we're going to have a bear simulator as well as a goat simulator. And I just became aware this morning that there is another Kickstarter for a simulated animal game called Cat Simulator.
Ah, yes. It just makes me think of those videos that whenever they just attach a camera to a cat and then just let it go about its daily life. You see all the very strange, interesting places that a cat will go to. And really, it'll be an eye-opener for exactly how awful of a creature your cat actually is.
I think a lot of, the problem that a lot of companies are going to have coming to market with a cat simulator is that cats sleep 20 hours a day and spend the other 4 hours ignoring you and licking themselves, which means you're going to have a really boring game that is also rated M for mature. And I'm just not sure there's a sale there.
Now, with this spectrum of animal simulation games include stuff like Feeding Frenzy, where you're just a fish eating as much food as you can and avoiding being eaten by bigger fish.
I would say so. To me, what's interesting right now in this whole movement of games about playing as animals...
Like Echo the Dolphin. Mm-hmm.
And Star Fox.
And Star Fox. maybe even Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Pokemon like Mystery Dungeon.
Yeah, perhaps.
That was a nice echo.
But I think that what's interesting about the movement of people making games about playing as an animal is that they tend to just be about survival from that animal's perspective, mm-hmm. which is very different for a human. And it's kind of surprising that this has taken so long to happen. So yeah, I would say a game about a fish trying not to be eaten by a larger fish applies to that.
Okay.
I've never heard of that game, though.
Oh.
Is it fun?
Yeah. I got to, like, the final level, and then I forgot to save, and I quit playing after that because I didn't want to play it anymore.
Is that a problem with these games? If you're trying to survive, and do you just give up eventually? How much replay value do these games have?
I think it depends on how many unspeakable animal instincts you have to enact. Lindsay and I have been playing a lot of Tokyo Jungle lately.
Oh, tell me about that. I'm so interested in that.
Potentially the king of all animal simulators.
Yeah. It was 99 cents on PSN a while ago, so we bought it. And the really weird and creepy thing about Tokyo Jungle, besides the fact that you eat other animals as a Pomeranian or whatever, is that it's clear almost immediately that the game wants you to kill as many animals as possible. You can play as an herbivore, but why are you going to do that? You're just eating mushrooms instead of small dogs.
But you still have to kill things.
Yeah, and you also have to kill things to defend yourself. And I think this is the next step past Grand Theft Auto, where, like, in Grand Theft Auto, we could say, well, you know, I'm gonna do all these transgressive things I've wanted to do but can't, and it'll be okay because I'm some weird mook or a guy in an 80s movie or whatever. But I think people now are like, I want to imbue that weird mook or that 80s cop show character with an inner humanity that makes him not want to rape and murder his way across Liberty City. So how now am I going to really just get out the worst that's inside me without trolling people on the internet? And the answer is playing as animals, because once you are an animal,
your morality is gone.
Yeah, yeah. Your only urges in Tokyo Jungle are to eat and mate. And so you eat mostly other animals, and then you mate, and based on your experience points, you can mate with either a dreadful female, an average female, or a prime female. I'm sorry, desperate female. Really, like, a lot of stuff that there would probably be a really long Polygon editorial about if it were human beings. But because I am a tiny Pomeranian wearing a sweater and a Sailor Moon mask, I can pretty much do whatever I want. And I think that's really the key to these animal simulator games. Like in Goat Simulator, it may be that I want to run around the city of Tucson as an invincible, solid steel marketing person and social media representative, destroying buses and breaking down houses and ruining barbecues.
Setting people on fire.
Setting people on fire constantly. But I can't do that because I don't have my health insurance cards yet. So while I'm waiting for that, and while I'm constrained by by my religious beliefs, by my cultural beliefs, by Fangamer's employee handbook, I can do all this stuff as a goat with a really weird sandbox physics neck. And a lot of bleeding. But the thing I worry about, Jeff, and you've already gotten us halfway into this, is eventually the goats are going to understand what we're using them for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, it might be great now these goats might be a convenient conduit for the worst inside us and the lack of morality that bubbles inside our fallen souls. But once the goats figure that out and enter film studies programs and get degrees in culture studies and English.
Once they begin to understand how they can use light to convince people of certain realities, we're going to see a whole new world open up of the goat perspective.
Yeah, they're going to be really pissed off, and we might be first against the wall when the goat revolution comes. So, Heidi, you introduced me to Goat Simulator. and so I think, like, maybe you can help me out here. What am I going to tell the goats once they've learned to speak and been elected to Congress and they're my neighbors and friends? What am I going to tell them when they see in my Steam history that I've got all these lurid goat games?
That are inherently prejudiced.
Yeah.
Not to mention whenever you eventually the Pomeranians join them in that fight and each new animal species comes, whenever the foxes finally come about and see, oh, this is what you think of us, is that we just fly around and shoot things in space with lasers.
Yeah, yeah. So we just go into space, humans, and fight your wars. Like, we're a pacified people. We don't want that, you know. Like, this is no blood for whatever it is that Andross has.
You gotta be, like, straight up with these goats, Pomeranians, and foxes, and say, hey, it was a different time. We were ignorant.
We were.
And we apologize.
Okay.
We did it for entertainment value because we were bored, we hate our lives, and we wanted to live through you guys in the way we thought was how you lived, but we were obviously wrong.
We were jealous.
So yeah. Here's the thing, though. I think by recording this podcast, we might be shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit. Because, say that this podcast survives whatever revolution comes about. Let's throw it out there.
Well, I'm sending a time capsule.
Right. And see,
podcast episode.
So if we continue to play these games after making these revelations, and they'll say, oh no, you already thought about this. And you kept doing it, you awful, awful human beings, as human beings are want to be.
Well,
we recorded this in a different timeline.
Okay.
I would say, hold on a second there. We didn't make these games.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I like this.
They need to be able to discern, if they're intelligent, they need to be able to discern which humans are responsible for making their species look terrible and invincible and, frankly, like superheroes. Which is inaccurate. I don't think any species wants to be a superhero, am I right?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
Except for humans.
Would you guys be making a goat simulator if you had the chance? I probably wouldn't. I would be playing Tokyo Jungle instead.
You'd be making parkour for the horse instead.
Please don't give away my grandiose game design ideas.
All I'm saying is that it's kind of like you're going for a horse simulator. Not at all like that, but...
It's not called Horse Simulator.
I'm aware.
It's called Parkour for the Horse.
And I'm not going to explain the concept to our podcast viewers because it would blow their minds and they'd steal the ideas and make millions. No. But still, you are similarly taking these expectations and tossing them onto poor, defenseless horses.
Well, look,
that will never be able to live up to this.
Look, Charlie, I mean, I get what you're saying, and even though parkour is a noble pursuit and horses are noble for pursuing it, I get what you're saying, and I understand the comparison to goats, but I think, you know, the thing we can really come together on with these goats and Pomeranians and cats and bears and fish, we can all get together and say, look, guys, it was a different time. We didn't have the education you guys have now. We lived in a different society with different pressures and concerns. But come on, you guys. Horses are assholes, all right?
One did bite my friend on the back when I was a child and scarred me for life, and I am so afraid of horses to this day.
It bit your friend and scarred you. That's impressive.
Yeah, I saved her. I pulled her over the fence, and then I ran away. And that was a terrible Girl Scout camping trip.
See, and people wonder why I don't like horses.
You guys just made the horses come after us. I hope you guys realize that.
I'm sorry.
They're doing so well.
Yeah.
Like, you call them an asshole. You said you were afraid of them. You said you just don't like them.
Yeah. Jeff, like horses are going to understand this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, wait. What about Mr. Ed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
One thing I worry about is eventual feline understanding of the internet. If they understand, if cats understand the power of YouTube, it's over. It's an end game. We're done. As the human species, we have left ourselves vulnerable to mental takeover from these very cute little furry creatures that, you know, sleep half the day and lick themselves or, you know, jump and miss halfway from the platform.
Or find themselves trying to struggle very much to get into boxes.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I'm very upset that America has left... With all the defense budget that we have, we've left ourselves open to this kind of an attack.
Time was a man in the lower middle class with a high school education, $5 in his pocket and a dream, could go out to Hollywood and jump into boxes and make an honest day's living. You know, get married, have a family, someday open a box store. These cats have come in with their neotenous features and their... adorable little faces and their tails and their just that ambivalence that we really love about them, and they have taken these jobs that used to go to people who now
like
are
Buster Keaton.
Yeah. Where's the next Buster Keaton?
Lost and forgotten.
He's peeing in a box somewhere because it's a cat. Thanks, America.
I'm afraid, guys. I'm afraid we've lost all of our freedom and all of our humanity, because we're spending way too much time playing these animal games.
Look, guys, and goats in particular. Look, goats. You know, you and I know that there are plenty of good cats and good horses out there, but it's these bad ones we got to watch out for. And so, when you hear this podcast in the time capsule that Jeff is buried in the giant tin can landfill outside Tucson. I really want you guys to understand that we're willing to make a deal. We've got a lot of cultural capital here. We've got a lot of T-shirts. And, you know, if your people and our people can band together, forget about some of the excesses that we have wrought against each other, and really just stick it to those cats and horses, I think we could salvage something out of this.
Taxi driver, 9 to 5.